Good morning. Appreciate Brother Dan for leading us in singing this morning. You did a great job, helped us to join our voices together to praise God. Let me say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. I know we've got folks visiting, and the reason you're here is to be with your father. And very grateful for that and just thankful for your presence today. I never know how to do these sermons. I always want to preach on that particular topic for that particular day. So today's Father's Day, to do a Father's Day sermon. I've been doing this for 25 years. And it's hard to come up with something different and new and in a way that just tells you how wonderful you are as dads, okay? I can remember it was during my first, it wasn't my first full-time ministry job, but it was my first full-time preaching job. I remember the very first Father's Day. I'll never forget it. I was preaching for the Loser Church of Christ, and Christy had gotten this thing from her dad. Her dad, Tim Carter, said, "Hey, give this to Charles. Let him share this on Father's Day." Well, of course, you all know me, right? I mean, I cry at the drop of a hat, right? I mean, it's just how it is. And so Christy said, "Hey, Dad gave me this and said, you need to read this for Father's Day." And I was like, "I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do that." She said, "Well, why not?" I said, "Because I won't get through the first line. I'll start crying." And she said, no, you can do it. You can do it." And so she convinced me somehow to put this poem, I think it was called An Introspection for Fathers. Okay. She encouraged me to put this in there. And I mean, I started the sermon out and I got through a couple of words, but I knew the poem was coming. So I just started crying then, you know, and, so I told her, I said, "Never again will I do that. I don't do those stories. I try to stay away from sad stuff." And for obvious reasons, right, there are some who are here who didn't have the best example of a father, right? There are some who are here who don't have their fathers anymore. And there are a lot of us in here who do. And so, you know, it's just kind of a hard balance, right, to talk about things that are pertinent for the day, but then also that get us involved in thinking about the very purpose we're here, which is for God. And so I want to talk a little bit about remembering who we are. Now, the bulletin article has the passage from Joshua 24, verse 15, that gives the idea about choosing who we will serve. And as fathers, we are the leaders in the home, and we hopefully have all made a good choice to serve God, to be the spiritual leader in the home. This lesson, though, is going to focus more on the fact that as we have made that choice, let's remember a few things. I know some of you can certainly, you get the connection with this. How many of you ever had a dad who said, "Now, remember who you are"? Maybe you were going out on a night with your friends, or maybe you were going to an activity at school, or just whatever the occasion is, and your dad says, my dad would say something like this. He'd say, "Boy, you need to remember who you are." And I mean, I knew what that meant. I mean, there was no second guessing that. I mean, he was my father and I was in no way to embarrass him. And there were certain principles and ideas that needed to be in place in my life because I was his son, right? How many of you had a dad to say something like that to you, or you've known of people who've had that statement? Remember who you are. And I think in a very real sense, that's what God is telling us. He wants us to remember as his children who we are. Jesus certainly is our perfect example, and he conducted himself in such a way as if God had told him, "Son, remember who you are." And think about Jesus' life and how he did everything that was geared in such a way to please his Father. And the latter part of John chapter 8, verse 29 gives us that very thought, right? That Jesus tried to do what he could to please his heavenly Father. But I also believe that was true of the fact that Jesus was honoring his earthly Father as well. I don't want to get too much into this, but in Luke chapter 2, you remember in verse 52 where we've got that wonderful statement of, and it's also in the bulletin, of where Jesus is growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And you might remember the fact that in that particular storyline, Jesus ends up staying back in Jerusalem. The family goes about a day away, a day's journey away. They're several miles heading in the wrong direction. Jesus in Jerusalem. Well, I find this very interesting. Okay, let me just say that it took them a day before they realized Jesus wasn't there? Anybody ever left a kid at church? Anyone ever been left at church, right? Okay, Paul says, yeah, I mean, okay. I don't think it takes a whole day unless it's intentional, right? Parents are going, yeah, leave him there. We hope it sticks and it works if we leave him there, right? But could you imagine the conversation going home with Joseph and Mary once they realize and they're embarrassed going with all the family? I thought you had him. Well, he was your responsibility for once and you just fell down on the job here. Dads, how many of you have lost a kid and you thought it was mom's responsibility, but it was really yours? My parents, one time we were in a mall in Memphis, Tennessee, and they kept telling me, don't run off. Don't run off. Don't run off. How many of you have ever told a kid that? Don't run off. And sure enough, what did I do? I ran off in a mall in Memphis with thousands of people. What was funny about it was my parents could see me. And after about 20 minutes, I mean, I realized, wait a minute, none of these faces look familiar and I have no clue where I am. I was a little guy. I can remember just sitting down on a bench and I started to cry. My family, my mom and dad, they're looking over and they're just watching and laughing. I hope that teaches him a lesson. It did. I didn't wander off anymore. I can tell you, I didn't like that feeling. But here Jesus has wandered off and you can imagine the discussion. The important thing I want to say is as we look at how Jesus grew physically and socially and spiritually, what does he do even with his earthly father when they have this discussion about where have you been? And he talks about, I've been about my father's business. The Bible says he was subject to them. You see, Jesus remembered who he was. He knew God was his father, but he also respected and had an admiration and love for his earthly father in Joseph. But as children of God, it's like God is telling us, listen, I want you to just remember who you are. Over and over and over in the scriptures, we have this concept of being reminded. Now, as parents, do we do that with our kids? Let me remind you one more time. If you do this, you will get a spanking. Right? We say that. We want them to know. It's your choice. But ultimately, if you make the decision, it's not going to be a good one. But if it's in line with my will and my way, then everything's okay. And God, and so we remind as parents, our children, God does that with us. He reminds us over and over about who we are. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verses 12 through 15. Here, Peter is writing to New Testament Christians, and he says, therefore, I intend always to underline it, remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it is right as long as I am in this body, underline it again, to stir up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon as our Lord Jesus Christ made it clear to me. I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time, underline it, to recall these things. God wanted us, he wanted his people then to be reminded of these important truths. And especially in this count, Paul is making the case that, listen, I'm not going to be with you always. And I want to remind you over and over and over so that after my departure, you will remember who you are. And I think that that is certainly the case with you and me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you know, in just a few moments, we're going to center our attention and our focus on Jesus Christ, his death, his body, his blood. We will do that when we observe the Lord's Supper in just a few moments. But you might remember in that passage, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that on the night in which our Lord was betrayed, took bread, verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Help me out with the next part of this. Do this in remembrance of me. And then you might remember in verse 25, in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Here it is again. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. What does God want us to remember every time that we come together? The death of His Son. It's a motivating factor, isn't it? It motivates us to live better. The death of His Son and the blood and the body. It reminds us that we're forgiven from all of our sins. That we have a Savior. And that we have a family. In Luke chapter 24, beginning with verses 1 through 9, not going to read all of this particular section, but you might remember in this particular section in Luke chapter 24, when he's on that road to Emmaus, and he's got these disciples who, and it's the first day of the week, and Jesus has been resurrected, and he's walking with these two disciples, and they don't know who he is, and they start to talk about the day and the events and some of the things that have been heard. We've heard that the Lord had been resurrected, and it's even the third day, but yet they didn't believe it, and they're walking away. And Jesus, they don't know, is actually in their presence walking with them. And so he reminds them in Luke chapter 24, he reminds them when they're on that road that he has told them these things before. And so you might remember in these verses, let me read verses 1 through 9, when they come to the tomb on the first day of the week and the anticipation of what they have heard and experiencing the resurrected Lord. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away. But when they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by in dazzling apparel, and as they were frightened and bowed their faces, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Here it is. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and they crucified and be crucified and on the third day rise again." And they remembered his words, and returning to the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and the rest. The point in this particular section was that they should have known. Jesus told them over and over and over. And in Mark chapter 7, 8, and 9, it's recorded that he told them three different times that this was going to happen. The reference to the two men on the road to Emmaus was, Jesus says, "Do you remember that all of this was spoken by the prophets, that this very thing would happen?" And then they realized they'd been with Jesus, and they asked the question, "Did we not burn within our hearts?" God wants us to have that desire, but he wants us to remember certain things about his word, about his person, and about his promises. In 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 3, think about the blessing that you and I have. Keith, I love the way that you put this when you got up here before your prayer. Yes, this is Father's Day, right? And we're here to honor our earthly fathers. But every Lord's Day, what do? We come together and we honor our Heavenly Father. And I think the passage in 1 John chapter 3 expresses that sentiment beautifully. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure." You see, as children of God, there's several things that we need to remember, right? I could spend all day long talking from Scripture about things that God wants us to remember that are absolutely essential. And it depends on what particular avenue or topic we're talking about. If we're talking about worship, I would remind us of things that God says He wants us to remember about our corporate worship together. If we were talking about salvation, I could give by way of reminder the things that God wants us to remember about what He did for us with His Son at the cross and how we respond to His plan of salvation, the cross, and the steps that we take to come in contact with that saving blood. I could remind us, if we're talking about church leadership, exactly what kind of leadership God wants, what He says in His Word. We can get in depth and look at words, and we could talk about things that God wants concerning His leadership in His kingdom, in His church. And we could take all day long and talk about it. How many of you are ready to do that? All day long talking about that. Oh, some of you started to raise your hand. Well, wait a minute. He just said all day long. But think about it seriously. Just two things I think is important for us to remember. And this will set us on a good track, not just for today, But this is just a good way to live. Is that number one, we need to remember that we are debtors, right? We owe a debt that we cannot pay. And praise God, our Father, that He has forgiven our debt, that He has offered the payment for the debt that we could not pay. And aren't you grateful to be a Christian? Every once in a while I'll get up here and I'll start out the day or the sermon and I'll say, isn't it great to be a Christian? And always there's one or two, yeah, it's great to be a Christian. But seriously, the reason I say that is just to remind us who we are and encourage us about the promises we enjoy and have that are ours, that we own because of Jesus. But we are debtors. We have been saved from our sins. God has erased the debt. But just being reminded of the fact that we had a debt we could not pay. We owed a debt that simply was beyond our means. I told you not long ago, I got one of those letters from the IRS and it scared me to death. How many of you have gotten those letters and it just made you sick to your stomach? Floyd, you know what I'm talking about. And Christy brings in this letter. I could tell she had opened it up and I was thinking, man, we're getting something from the government. How awesome is that? Except this letter said you owe $107,000 in taxes. And man, I want to tell you, I just about passed out. You know, I'm thinking, Mark Pierce, I got him on speed dial. You know, fortunately, it was a mistake, right? It was just a mistake. But we didn't realize it until a few months ago. And we had sold our house in Florence, Alabama. And when we moved here, somehow on our taxes, it wasn't recorded that we had sold it. And it looked like it was income. And so I got a bunch of tax penalty on that amount from the government because it was 3 years old, right? They're all about taxing you more. I think there was like $37,000 of that was in taxes. And the rest was just, well, first of all, that was not my income. I'd sold the house. And I stayed up all night looking at ways to get out of this. And finally, I saw on this form, if you have questions, call this number. If not, by this date, we'll assume the debt is yours and you can sign this piece of paper and we'll just move on. Well, thankfully, I didn't sign the piece of paper and move on. I called the number. And about a 15-minute phone call, and the woman said, oh, I see here there was a mistake. You lived in that house for 2 years. Yes. Sold the house. Yes. Okay. It's all good. I said, you mean to tell me we do not owe $107,000 in taxes? She said, no, we're all good. It's zero. I said, ma'am, do you realize you scared me half to death? I said, you need a better way of informing people about this stuff. Like, this could be a mistake. Please check your records or, you know. And while that's funny and that's just a certain amount, what's the dollar sign if we were to put a dollar sign on your sins and mine? How would we be able to pay that debt? Except there's no quick phone call. There's no writing a check, even if you have the means. Which in this case, if we're comparing dollars and sins, none of us have the means. And what do? You just wait for judgment and punishment. But what does God do? God saves us through Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Romans 5, verses 9 through 11, I read part of this today at the end of my class. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we now have received reconciliation. I mean, we've been saved. Do you know those kinds of people? I got a little note in here to remind me. There was a couple of people I knew when I was preaching in Waynesboro, Tennessee. And they were great people. Let me say that up front. They were the salt of the earth. But they were those kind of people. Every time you saw them, you know, they were just always happy. Those kind of people just make me sick. What about you? I mean, just always happy. And every time I'd say, I would always say, how are you doing? And without fail, always, they would always say, I'm too blessed to be depressed. I'm just depressed hearing it. No, seriously. They had an outlook on life, honestly, that reflected the fact that God had given them more than they deserved because they had been saved. And I want you to think about that. What about us? Even this old grouchy preacher needs to remember that I'm a debtor and that God took away my debt in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Over and over and over, God wants us to remember that we are debtors, and that reminds us of the great salvation that we enjoy for the price that Christ paid at Calvary. And if we remember who we are, we'll not forget our mission, right? That as debtors, we've been saved to help others to come to know Jesus and be saved. You remember in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul recognizes he's a debtor, that Christ paid his sin debt, that he's been saved, and now he owes Jesus Christ, he owes God the Father his very existence. And that's why he says, he saved me, and I'm the chief of sinners. The second thing we need to remember is to be faithful. You know, I find it interesting that people who have been saved, who do understand the debt that has been forgiven, and now the allegiance that they owe to Christ for paying that debt, that you have to persuade or encourage them to be faithful. You know, I've heard things like, well, I'm not coming back until the preacher or the elders call me and tell me they miss me. Well, you're not here at church today, right, because of the preacher or the elders. You're here because of Jesus Christ. And I could go on with statement after statement after statement that I've heard through the years of where people who have been forgiven, who have been saved by the grace of God to remind them to be faithful, that their allegiance is to Christ and not to any preacher or any one person. And that you are here today to be faithful to Him and to Him alone. That makes everything better, doesn't it? When it's about God and not about the preacher or the members or the elders or the deacons. This deacon, they served that person, and I had the same situation. James, I lost my parents, and they didn't serve me in the family life group, but they served them. Well, who is your allegiance to, James or God? We need to remember to be faithful. And God over and over and over encourages us to be faithful. This is not a new thing or, a thing that needs to be uncovered and revealed. No, this is very simple. In Galatians 6, verse 9, what does Paul say to those brethren in Galatia? He says, and let us not grow weary in well-doing or in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Don't give up on your commitment to Christ. Don't give up on your allegiance to God Almighty. He is the one that you are faithful to. You are here today for our Father and for His Son Jesus. And we're thankful for the words that the Holy Spirit has given us in the Scriptures. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, when writing to the church at Ephesus, what's one of the things that he says there as he's closing those thoughts? Be faithful even if it kills you. And I will give you a crown of life. I mean, don't let the thought or fear of death keep you from your allegiance and faithfulness to God. We don't need to fear the one who can just destroy the body. We need to fear the one who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. And so, yes, some bad things may happen in this life, but we don't lose faith and we don't lose heart and we keep our eyes focused on Jesus because we know that He is the author of eternal salvation. And our allegiance is to Him and to Him alone. And we don't look at what's going on in this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, therefore be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not only be faithful just by being present, but be faithful by being active. God wants us to continue to abound in the good work that He has set for us, Ephesians 2, verse 10. That God laid out before He even laid the foundation of the world that He created for us to be a part of in Christ Jesus. As Christians, we need to remember who we are. This is a great Father's Day. Because in just a moment, we will remember, won't we, what our Father did for us by the sacrifice of His Son Jesus for our sins. That's why we're here today. I hope you have a great day. I hope you fathers have a great Father's Day. I mean, I hope the table is just filled with good food and you get a nap this afternoon. Right? You'll need one after all that good meal. But this day is all about God. And this day is about honoring Him. And if you are not faithful to Him, if you don't remember all of the things that He's done for you and the great debt that He paid on your behalf, then refocus your attention and your heart and your life. And if you need salvation from Jesus, you can if you'll just believe in Him. Confess your sins, repent of your sins, be immersed in the waters of baptism to have your sins washed away. Remember how great of a debtor you are and remember to be faithful. We'll be on the right road. If anyone needs to respond, please come while together we stand and while we sing.